number 31, introducing X, playing tricks with ICMP.
Hello and welcome to the releasing party of X. My name is Ophir Arkin. I'm the founder of the C-Security Group. What we will be talking about here today is a logic and a tool released that is using active operating system fingerprinting using the ICMP protocol. I do not know how many of you are familiar with my work, but for the past year I've been doing some research on the ICMP protocol, and for each and every conference I arrive to, people have asked me to release an automated tool that will demonstrate the abilities that I am always talking about. What we will go over in this coming hour is, first we will do theoretical analysis of the logic behind the tool. I'll show you some examples, some lab examples and some examples taken on the internet. And then at the end, I will show you some real world examples where I compare the tool to known scanning tools such as Nmap. And I'll show you why the tool is in its only 0.0.1 version is sometimes superior. Again, X is a logic developed from the various active operating system fingerprinting methods I have discovered during my ICMP usage in research project. And the tool that was written along with Fyodor Yorokhin. If you don't know the different Fyodors, this guy is the Fyodor that is from the Snort mailing list, is doing the Snort development, and the other Fyodor from Nmap is a different person. So XProb is the tool I'm presenting here, written along with Fyodor Yorokhin, which automates the logic. There are some goals to the X. Well, prime goals are to be simple, fast, and efficient. Well, I bet many of you are using Nmap or using different scanning tools. These tools, just you fire them away and just send enormous amount of packets to the targets. I'll show you that we can do it in a different way, a more efficient way, and get the same results. Still, X is a proof of concept tools, and in the future, it will be much more than it. What I want X to do is to use several logic combined together. This means that if one logic will fail, I will have some kind of a failover mechanism that will fire up another logic. And depending on the point in the logic that I got good results to, I will be able to combine this logic together and use less packets, be more efficient, and complete my task using different approaches. It's not just, well, it's not so wise to use all the tests together and just fire it up and, you know, puke on the network and hope you get results back. I want my tool to have some kind of artificial intelligence kind of thing, so I can be, again, more efficient, fast, and simple. The tools we are using today are sometimes inaccurate and inconsistent. Some tools have different fingerprinting or the same operating systems. If you had a chance to go over some fingerprinting databases, you can see, for example, the same operating system having 4 or 5 different fingerprinting information inside the same database. Well, I hope X will change that in the future. We're a lot dependent on our position regarding the target. If we sit inside an internal network, then we can use different types of scans or different types of protocols in order to do our scan. For example, a lot of people just open up traffic between different segments. You can use nearly always ICMP between segments. Sometimes you can use everything. This is changes the picture if you sit outside the organization and you need to map or do a penetration test or just understand what you are against. There might be used different type of protocols and different approaches. Therefore, when I say that I want to have different logics, you can use a certain logic that fits you whenever you point your seat on different topologies. I had to put up this slide for the license before I'm going further and explaining here. XProbe is GNU licensed, is copyrighted by Fyodor Yurokin and myself. And the material should be used only for non-profit education use only. So if you want to steal it and I find it, I can sue you. One of the best things with X is that you use only 1 to 4 packets initiated from your machine to the target. If all conditions apply, you will be receiving replies from all known operating systems today, and your results will be very accurate. I'd like to thank Simple Nomad and some of the guys from Razor team that helped me out doing some QA for the logic. I will thank other people along the way of this presentation. So how do we start? Our backbone of the logic is basically triggering back an ICMP error message, ICMP port and reachable error message from our target. Our datagram will be sent to a closed UDP port. It will be a definitely closed UDP port. How can I choose a definitely closed UDP port? For one example, you can go to the analyst and look at the port lists and just choose some ports. I can randomly send with each and every initiation of the protocol a different port which I'm using. Still today we are using one port to do so, but in the future we'll be randomizing this port. Another approach is, if for example, you know where are the DNS servers for your target, say you're auditing your own networks, you can send a UDP datagram to port 53, where it will be closed, hopefully, on all of the other operating systems that are running on your network, for example. Now, if you want to hide yourself, you could put inside the application data layer, you can steal the code from NS Lookup, and for example, stick in some real-world queries to DNS servers. Now, if the admins will look at the queries, what they will think? Oh, this is another script kiddie sending some stuff out, or someone didn't understand where my DNS server is, maybe we have problems with the IPs which are represented by the DNS server. But eventually, what that will do is it will help me to map you. Just one example. So, basically, what we look for is the ICMP port and reachable error message. Now, if we do not receive this error message in the future, we will use some kind of a failover mechanism. Simple Nomad have implemented another logic that I've written for ICMP queries only. It is called ICMP ID, where in the future I will combine between the two, and when this will fail to receive the port and reachable error message, what it will do, it will fail over to query only mechanism with ICMP. Now, this is a good indicator if there is a filtering device between us and the target. Because if we are targeting a closed UDP port, which is a definitely closed UDP port, we should receive an ICMP port unreachable, correct? Now, if the firewall is covering the port, then we will see the same behavior as with an open port. We will not receive any reply back. So basically, if we do not receive any reply back, it might mean that target is down, but also it might mean that there is a firewall between us and the target, So we will try to map the target with another mechanism and see if other protocols or approaches are not being filtered. Each IP datagram has an 8-bit field called the type of service byte. Mainly it combined from three fields, the proceedings, the type of service, and must be zero. When we receive an ICMP error message, there are several operating systems and networking devices that will set the preceding bits to a field value of 6 hex, which is 6 decimal, which is C0 hex. Now, if we look at what the RFC has defined, RFC 1812, which is requirements for IP version 4 routers, says that routers should send back this field value when they generate an ICMP error message. Well, we see with this diagram that we have here Linux kernel 2.0, 2.2, and 2.4, as well as Cisco routers with iOS 11x to 12x, and Extreme Network switches do the same thing. Well, Linux is not a router, but still he acts like it. So if we shift to this side of the datagram, or the logic, we need to differentiate between these three, two networking devices and three operating systems. So how can we do this? Since Linux echoes back everything that it will put inside a packet with this ICMP error message, the amount of data that it will send us back will be much more than the other operating systems that are present here. This means that the RFC has stated that we need to send back the offending packet's IP header and at least 8 data bytes of the offending packet data. Now, if you remember, with the first step, I have sent here 70 data bytes inside the UDP datagram. So basically, what I'll do here is a simple test. If there are only 8 data bytes echoed back from the offending packet, which are really here are the UDP header information, the different ports and the checksum, and the other side will echo back everything, then basically I have now divided between Linux and between Cisco routers and Foundry network switches. Now I need to take it further. I want to be able to differentiate between the Cisco equipment and Foundry network equipment. Extreme Networks equipment. What I will do here is I will check for an echoing integrity problem. Echoing integrity is basically when we send the offending packet's data, some operating systems may mangle some values. This means that sometimes we will see different values inside an ICMP error message than the actual original values with the offending packet. Now, if we look closely on Cisco routers, they will nearly echo everything correctly, while Extreme Network switches will send us a UDP checksum of 0 instead of the original UDP checksum. So basically, with one packet and two other tests, we were able to differentiate Cisco routers with iOS 11x, 12x, and Extreme Network switches. Now, we wish to do the same with the Linux part of the diagram. What we will do, we will use the IP time to leave field value with the ICMP error messages the different Linux kernels send us. Linux kernel 2.0.x will use an IPTTL field value starting with 64. Of course, we will get another value here because it gets decreased each time the IP header is getting looked at along the way. But we can do a fairly good test and say, for example, if we receive IPTTL 44, it will be much more understandable than it will be much more close to 64 than 255. Well, kernel 2.2 and 2.4 will use 255 as their initial IP time to leave field value, and we can differentiate them from Linux 2.0. Now, this is again, we sent one query we have here two tests, and here is Linux 2.0, and the other side 2.2 and 2.4. We can differentiate between this more, but if you have any questions until this point, I would like to take questions. No questions. It's either you don't understand or everything is okay. Okay.
What about the other operating system?
Oh, we'll get back. No problem. Yeah. Nmap test for the amount of data getting back. It tests for type of service, but is not using any logic. As you will see here, for example, I have sent one datagram. I have mapped these two. I have sent here one datagram. I have mapped Linux 2.0. And Nmap will send up to 2,000 packets in order to do so. Now, at the end, I'll show you some nice Chinese sites I have mapped last night, and you can see the difference. Now, here I'll send another test. I need to differentiate between the kernel 2.2 to kernel 2.4. I'll send an ICMP echo request here. If I'm not getting any reply back, then the firewall might filter the ICMP echo requests. If I get a reply, I'll look at the uniquely field within the reply, which is the IP header IP ID field value, which kernel 2.40 to 2.44 will do us a favor and send a zero here. So we can differentiate between Linux kernel 2.2 and 2.45 because it was fixed there, and Linux kernel 2.40 to 2.44. So here we go, another packet sent, two packets sent. We can check another firewall presence test. We can see if we have Linux 2.2 or 2.5, and at the other end, 2.40 to 2.44. Just as a note, Linux kernel 1x does not set the proceeding fields, but who has Linux 1x now? This is an example, still not with X. I was lazy to replace the first couple of examples. It was late last night. You can play the logic with HPing 2, seeing and TCP dump, basically, if you understand what you are doing. So here, I'm using HPing 2, written by AntiRes, sending UDP datagram to UDP datagram, setting up the DFB, sending to port 50, and adding 70 databytes, and sending to the target, which I will not, of course, tell you what it was. And again, we can see the original packet and the error message sent. This was against Linux kernel 2.42. We can see that the preceding bits here are set to 0xC0. The second test will be the amount of data here echoed. We can see that everything got echoed back with the error message. And the third test will be time to leave field value of 255. We separated it from the 2.0 kernels. We go to the second query, and here we go, IP ID 0. This is Linux kernel between 2.40 to 2.44. I think it's a good result. Now, you might say, hey, we don't believe you. Wait until the examples. Now, I am now back to the main branch. The main branch, this is the operating system that did not set the preceding bits to 0xC0. We'll now divide this diagram into three. Basically, operating systems that adds or send back only 8 databytes with error message. Operating systems that will send 64 databytes default with the error message, and operating system that will just send whatever will send them. If you look at the main branch here, the SAN Solaris 2.x, HPUX 11x, and macOS 7.9, I would like to thank Chris from Seagate for letting me abusing his macOS 9.1 machine yesterday. We can see that these three will echo by default 64 databytes. Now, simple test, if we wish to differentiate between these three. We will send an ICMP timestamp request, while SansLayers will answer, HPUX and macOS will not answer. Now, you might say, if the SansLayers is blocking ICMP timestamp request, then it might look like HPUX 11. Well, you're right. But this is one of the things I have to deal with in the future, maybe add a year another check and see if there is a firewall here somehow. Well, we are only at 0.0.1, so. Here is another example. This is with Solaris 2.7. First check is the preceding bits here. We see that they are set to zero with the error message. This is actually flipped. This is what I send, and this is the error message. Data bytes, if you count them, you have 56 with the 58 here, and another 8 with the UDP header makes 64, and that's it. The values here. If you look at the second query, we can see that it answered our timestamp reply to us, identified as SansLayers. Questions? Yeah. Because I need to understand if I'm getting more than 64 bytes echoed, 64 bytes, or just 8. So I'm thinking 70 is a nice number, I'll send it. Really, I can use 66 or whatever from there. Well, basically in the future, I want to put some application data inside, so it will be application dependent, which will be more intelligent. Our next tests, we'll look at the different fields inside the IP header and look for some mangling. IP header is a wonderful thing with ICMP errors. We can look at the IP total length field value. They are all echoing integrity parameters. There are operating systems that will send us a value higher 20 bytes than the original, less with 20 bytes or the same. Some IPID values will be flipped because of bit order problems. What is this? IP header checksum sometimes will be zero, sometimes will be faulty, sometimes will be okay. 3-bit flags and offset field value. Again, because of some bit order problems, when sometimes you will set up the DF bit in the error, you'll see like your offending packets is really a fragment of a thing. That's really nice. And the UDP checksum, sometimes miscalculated, sometimes zero, sometimes okay. The first value that I'm looking at now is the IP total length field value. Well, there are a bunch of operating systems that will send a value higher than 20 bytes in the original. Some will send less than 20 bytes from the original, and some will be okay. Now, there is a problem here. This is the first time I have decided to drop some systems here, because they were like old networking devices that I don't think that anybody is using, and they were irrelevant. In the future, I might add them back, but I didn't think it gives a value if we will state that we have here a router which is not manufactured for 4 years. Now, if we will look at this branch, at the AIX BSDI, NetBSD 1X to 1.2X, and macOS X server, and we'll see again that we can differentiate between them quite easily. Again, we're still using one datagram. Sure, we have additional tests here and here, but it's the same ICMP error message that we have received in the first, if you remember our first datagram sent, this is the same ICMP error received. We will look at the IP header checksum. If it will be miscalculated, then it will be the AX bunch. I had a problem here with having some AIX machines, older AIX machines, so I didn't continue here. I just received a message that this is an AIX based machines. I further differentiated between the other group and looked at the IPID If it was flipped, then it is BSDI, old BSDI based machines, 2.x, 3.x, and little endian NetBSD 1.x, 1.2x. If it's not flipped, it's BSDI 4x, NetBSD 1x, 1.2x, big endian, and Mac OS X server. Now, one thing that you need to remember, all of these systems share the same TCP/IP code. They all stole it from the same source. So sometimes we will see that we can group several operating systems together, but it will mean that they are vulnerable to the same things. Questions? Here is X. Here you can see first time X working. This against a live target on the internet. You see one datagram sent. We're looking after the test for the proceedings. We look for the IP total length. Will be bigger with 20 bytes than the original. We'll look then at the UDP header, get X. This very fast thing. I don't know if I have the trace here. Yeah, look at the timelines. It's under a second for receiving back the port and reachable error message. I check all the tests I have tell you about and the logic and get X back. I have played with porting systems that will echo 20 bytes less than the original. This is even more fun because we have OpenBSD here. There is a, well, if you just do port scans, there is sometimes problems with identifying OpenBSD. I'll show you one later. Basically, there is a bunch of operating systems that will act the same. They will have the IP total length field value with 20 bytes less than the original. We'll look again at another test using echoing integrity problem. We'll have operating system that send the UDP header okay, some will be bad. Here we can see NFR IDS appliance. Well, it's the older ones are based on OpenBSD, and we can see here some that send it zero. Well, I'm most interested in this area, which I can send another echoing integrity check. Look at the IP header checksum, and guess what? OpenBSD 2.6 to 2.9 echo is back, and again, it's one datagram sent, several tests, and I have the operating system. Here you can see again, I have sent only one datagram, looked at the IP total length, got the understanding that this branch is OpenBSD's, did my two other checks, which you see here, three stuff, and got myself OpenBSD 2.6 and 2.9. And only what I had to look at is some simple stuff. I look at the IP total length here, is the original. Here's one echo, 20 bytes less. I looked at the IP headers and UDP headers. They were correct. Here I have an OpenBSD 2.6 to 2.9. Now, all of this is cross-reference with known database fingerprinting. So if you cross-reference all of this, you'll get the same results as I did. Questions until this point? Okay. Another nice test, which you can do, is, as I told you, play with the 3 bits flags and offset field value. What happens if you set the don't fragment bit is sometimes there are operating systems that will take the value. It will be 4000 with the offset field value. And what they will do is they will flip it. And then it will be 0040, where your operating system, when receiving the ISMP error message, will say, hey, you're receiving an error message for a fragmented something you sent, but you never sent a fragmented something. Now, this is shared among three groups of operating systems. Sometimes when you send the DF bit on the reply, Ultrix will send you zero, will say, hey, you never sent me that. Okay, no problem, I identified you, very simple. The other two groups of operating systems are FreeBSD 2.2x to 4.1 and NetBSD, the 1.3x group and probably older versions. Well, installing the 1.2 or 1.1 FBSD with, yeah, we'll have to put all the images on disks. It was too much for me. So you look at the one parameter, the IP header checksum. With the NetBSD machines, it will be zero. With FreeBSD 2.2x, 241, it will not be zero. And here again, you have two major operating systems versions. You have just figure out what are they with one datagram again and some tests you performed on the ICMP error message. So if you look again at the output that X gives you, you see the test, IP total length is okay, preceding bits are okay, frag bits are flipped. We do again our little dance here. We check the checksum. We know what is the checksum. If it's not zero, then it's FreeBSD boxes. Here is an example with a lot of arrows. You can see here with the in the yellow, in the ugly yellow, has the preceding bits set to zero. Second test, only 8 data bytes are echoed back. The third test is the IP total length field value. And the fourth test is with the DF bit. Here you can see that the DF bit is flipped back as 00 for 0. And here you have your FreeBSD machine box. So basically, we're going down our tree. And until now, nearly every operating system that we are fingerprinting uses only one datagram, except for Linux 2.2x and the 2.4x, and except the Sun Solaris, Mac OS 7x to 9x, and HPUX 11. Now we need to somehow differentiate between my favorite operating systems from Redmond to the other operating systems. This is an old trick I found was my first active operating system fingerprinting test. It's a very simple test. You send an ICMP echo request. What you do is you set the code fill, the ICMP code fill, to a value different than zero. We act against the RFC guidelines. Now, what will come back from the Microsoft bunch of operating systems, you'll receive zero. The RFC states you change the type to echo reply, you recalculate whatever checksums you need, and you send them back. Well, Microsoft acted as God. No, we want to set this to zero. No problem, set it to zero. It just helps me understand what our old Microsoft-based operating systems are. Now, this is a foolproof thing against whatever you want to test this against. So another datagram sent here, ICMP echo request. If I receive no reply, then I'm again filtered. If I get zero as the code, I have the entire Microsoft-based family here. And if I get the original value sent, I get the other Unix and, well, Novell at the other side. I'm adding another check criteria here, another active operating system fingerprinting test. I'm setting the preceding bits to value different than zero, and I also set the DF bit. Now, there are some operating systems, as you will see in the next slide, that will not echo back the preceding bits when I send a value inside, and there are some operating systems which will not echo back the DF bit. What is called echo back is they will not set this with the echo reply that they will send. Now, in the tree of the Microsoft based, looking again at the time to leave field value, there is a uniquely field value of 32 identifying Microsoft Windows 95. Here we get it, another 2 datagram very fast. All the other Microsoft based, the replies will be 128. And remember, I told you why we can add some active operating system fingerprinting test inside one echo request. Here we do use the preceding bits. And now we see that Microsoft Windows 2K, SP1, and SP2 will send us a preceding bits of 0 with their reply when we have sent something inside there. So basically, 2 packets here. We have identified 95 and 2K, 2KSP1, 2KSP2. Now we have left with the older base Microsoft operating systems. Older, I'm not referring to Microsoft Windows for work. Whoops. Here is a test with Win2K. Very simple test. Again, we check for the same stuff we I've checked and on the main tree, precedings, total length, frag bits, and we do a test with the echo request. It's a Microsoft Windows family TCP stack. We look at the TTL and we look at the precedings, and we get to Microsoft Windows 2K, SP1, SP2. Now, if we look at the traces, again, very simple stuff at first, the same that we have made before. And the echo request here is sent with a code fill set to 123. Well, I don't know why Fyodor uses 123, but we get zero here. And if we look closely, we have 6 SD preceding bits. We have 0 SD preceding bits here. So basically, again, 2 packets, 1 error received, 1 reply received, and we get Win2K SP2. This actually identified as one of the group of Microsoft-based, and if you can say this is Microsoft 2K or SP1 or SP2, if you know how Nmap fingerprint Microsoft Windows 2K, then you'll appreciate it. So we need to differentiate between the rest of the Microsoft Windows operating systems. This will be easily achieved. We send ICMP timestamp request, Microsoft Windows 98, 98AC, which is basically the same operating system, and Windows Me will answer. We'll send afterwards an address mask request, Win98, 98AC will answer, and Microsoft Me will not. Here we have 4 packets sent. We get Microsoft Me and Microsoft 9098SE. Now, taking the other branch, no reply is the NTs. We send another address mask. Here is NTSP3 and less, and here is NTSP3, SP4 and above. So we can differentiate between the different SPs as well. If we look at an example with Windows NT4, SP6A, we can see it is identified correctly with X as Windows NTSP 4+. I'll go through quickly so I can go through my Chinese websites examples at the end. Just using the regular stuff here, you can see the preceding bits here. We're sent like the preceding bits here. We can see that the code fill is 0 while it was set to a fill value here, and no answer for the timestamp and address masks. So we're back at the main branch. We have other operating systems we need to fingerprint, so we'll be using another test. If you remember, I set up the DFBit with my echo request. So this branch is the operating systems, which will send back ICMP code field with the value, with the original value I have sent it. And now I am doing a DFBit echoing test. DFBit echoing is basically, I set the DFBit on, and operating systems that answer my ICMP echo request will set the DFBit with their ICMP echo reply. There are some operating systems that will not do so. We have Ultrix and Novell, some other version of Ultrix. If you remember, we identified some Ultrix-based machines earlier. Well, Ultrix is an old operating system, which I only had a couple of IPs I could play with without any knowledge of the versions. So I have a fail-safe mechanism here with Ultrix as well. Novell use time to live of 128, while Ultrix will use time to live with 255. So again, 2 packets sent, couple of tests, and we get Novell and Ultrix. Questions?
Question.
Yeah.
Have you done anything with XP?
I was very occupied with this one, so I didn't get an XP. But when I'll have one, I'll play with it.
Different Novell versions versus 3X versus 5X?
I was not able to identify, but again, it's very hard to find one. So I got Simple Nomad send me a couple of test bags for 4X and 5X. They were looking the same. one of the problems is that you need to do it yourself in a lab, not on the internet, and then you need to apply it on the internet. And my lab has two computers, so it's quite hard to do so. Sure.
Just for fun, did you ever test OS 2 to see if it fell on the Microsoft side or the IBM side of the tree?
Again, it's ancient and having problems to find one on the internet. I think this is the one of the final tests. I'm going back to the ICMP error message here, and with the ICMP, with the offending packet, I have set the DF bit as well. So again, if the DF bit will not be set with the error message, I can filter down more operating systems here. What is nice to look at is the OpenBSD 2.4, 2.5 higgs here, and the NetBSD 1.5 and 1.4x bunch here. Again, this is only two datagrams sent, couple of tests, and you get the operating system. The final test to be implemented inside a tool, where after that it gets very unreliable results, is sending ICMP information requests to the IP address which did not qualify for the other tests. Well, we have several operating systems we'll answer here, including HPUX, 10X, DGUX, and OpenVMS. We'll do an echoing integrity check here with the IP ID. If it's bad, it's OpenVMS with digital TCP/IP services. If it's echoed okay, then we have some several other operating systems here, which we can send, which we can test other problems with the integrity. So, because we have so many of them, we can look at these. And here we have IP header checksum, which is zero. Here we got HPUX 10X. The other operating system will go through a UDP checksum echoed. Here it's zero, DGUX or Compact Proof 64, the same stuff. And the other diagram branch is the OpenVMS with the process software TCPware. So again, many different tests inside, two datagrams sent, you get HPUX 10X here, DGUX, OpenVMS, if it uses different services for TCP/IP as well. Here you see an example with DGUX 5.6. Here, identifies a compact true 64 DGUX. You see the different tests it went through. Here it's three datagrams sent. I'm correcting myself. The offending packet, the echo request with the code field change, and the information request identified as DGUX. Quite simple, fast, very, very efficient. Here you can see how fast it is. A couple of milliseconds after I have sent this on the internet, did the usual test here, sent myself here, sent the target here, the echo request, see the code came back, the DFBT is echoed as well. Next one is to look again at the ICMP error message, if you remember. Look if the DFBT is echoed with the error, and answer the information request. Looking again at the error message, looking at the IP ID, looking at the UDP checksum, and looking at the IP header, everything combined together gets you DGUX based machine pretty fast. If you can look at this, for example, if you see the timeline, this is under 2 seconds. If you can look here, it's 46, 15:36:37, and the info reply received at 15:46:38 and some milliseconds, under 2 seconds, and you get this back. So basically you do little processing here and there, you get your stuff. This is the place where the tree stops at XProb. I had some other ideas about these, but basically it gets very unreliable, and I need to think about something more smart to do here. What I am missing here, which is quite important, is the FreeBSD 4.1.1 to 4.3 and the FreeBSD 5.0. If you use this, you see that eventually I can differentiate between the two, but along the way there are a couple of networking devices, another, well, if you get a chance to go from the internet and get those big IBM old machines, well, I don't believe it, but it gives you the same results. If you have other operating systems that do not qualify for this test, mainly because they answer correctly or go through the main branch all the time, like FreeBSD 5.0, what eventually you'll see is X will produce you a fingerprint and say, this is something other, some other Unix. Well, we map the Novell, we map the OpenVMS old bricks, so it's some kind of other Unix. Here we get an example with FreeBSD. I will not look at it because I want to show some real Chinese websites. Any question up to this point? I know it's sometimes a bit fast. These slides and the tool will be available in midnight because I have some other stuff I need to do. So midnight, I'll show you a slide where you can download everything. Questions until now? No questions? Yeah. Well, it's just 0.0.1. I mean, I wanted to do the proof of concept, show that this is working, and I'll show you some stuff here. You'll see it working, and, well, I'm a member in the HoneyNet project. I bet I can do some testing as well. Okay, so I was thinking, what is my favorite nation to pick up? Who bugged the Navy so much? And, well, I'm not an American, I'm Israeli, but I know about the Navy stuff. So I picked up my favorite country. It was 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. or I don't remember exactly. And I wanted to read my my favorite party newspaper, the official newspaper of the Communist Party, which is People's Daily. Well, they say good stuff. Here is the NBA player is doing good stuff, and everything is good in China. So, yeah, I'm impressed. Ah, you don't know what are the other sites I went to. Wait and see. So, such a lovely country, and I wanted to use X. Guess what? So fast. Well, I cannot really read there, so I'll read from here. People's Daily ran an OpenBSD 2.6 or until 2.9. Very simple, you can look at the test, and if you don't believe me, here is the trace. Yeah, okay, it was 11.14. Again, China and the United States are connected very fast. I don't know why. Maybe this is the reason. Maybe this is the reason for all this denial of service stuff to work. This is under 1 second. You see the IP total length, giving me the error message, all the other stuff is good. We have OpenBSD here, very nice. So I was thinking, this is a very nice site. I need you to believe me, right? If I will not use something else to map, then you guys will say, yeah, this something is fishy here with the Israeli telling us that this is working. So, I was trying to use Nmap. Well, you know what, it didn't work. It will work for 567 seconds. I was thinking that the army of the Chinese peoples will just, you know, retaliate somehow. Well, they must be sleeping at that time. Well, it just failed. Failed to correctly tell me after nearly, well, you do the calculation about how many minutes, nearly 9 and something. I was like, oh, they must be looking now and see these hackers from Las Vegas. They kill us. So, it's not getting any results and just blah, blah, blah. Sent enormous amount of packets to People's Daily. Well, they will see their router usage get high from the States. Well, okay, so I wanted to buy some microphones. I went to Beijing and I want to say, yeah, I want to do B2B business with you guys. So I went to 797audio .com. It's you can see the address, it's in Beijing. I wanted to place an order for some microphones. Okay, so I guess microphones run under Linux. 2 packets, and I get Linux 2.2x to and maybe 2.45. Well, if we'll be, you know, say it's hosted, it may be 2.45. So I was thinking it's nice result. And I went to Locatain Map, sure, getting the same results, nearly the same results. Stated 2.40 to 2.45 was okay, 24 seconds, but guess what? How many packets were sent? I don't have prizes, but if someone could tell me how many packets were sent by AMAP, yeah.
Eight.
2,400, God. Yeah. Look at the number. 1,500. I was like, what the hell? I was saying, no, it can't be. So I reset my TCP dump and did it again. Well, 797audio, I didn't think they will get so much visits same night buying those microphones. So yeah, 3,200 packets sent, reported by TCP dump. Say we sent one, we received a reply back. Gives us 1,500 packets. Well, you judge. So I wanted to buy myself a car. I was thinking, let's go to carguide.com.cn. I want to buy myself a Chinese car, since if I'm thinking of moving there, I need to, you know. So I saw that excellent car here. Well, okay, what do you know? It's working on WinMT4, SP4 and above. 4 packets sent, and I get this awesome car guard. Okay, no problem, let's compare with Nmap. Well, here are some not that same results, because SP3 and SP5 are different things. So I got SP4 and above, and Nmap got SP3 or maybe SP5, and maybe we'll send again 1,500 packets. And man, carguide.com.cn, wow, what a website. So I was trying to choose my vehicle. I went to China Trailer. I want to buy myself a trailer. Such a nice trailer here. I mean, why not buying one? Well, I didn't understand the language, but I think they want deposit first. So, 2 packets. We get Linux again, 2.2x or 2.45. Nmap, get our same results, 27 seconds, and again, jam the internet with 1,500 packets. And sure, you can see what is open. MySQL is so nice. SMTP, Telnet, SSH. Well, this guy was really smart. FTP, SSH, Telnet. Wow. Scanning is legal. I'm sorry. So I wanted to buy a train. So easy to buy a car, I went to trains. So I went to Mongolia. This is an awesome host name. I am 1MGT. Well, guess what? .com.cn. Okay, so I want to buy a train. Here, again, we have Win2K. Now, this is very fast. two datagram sets, we get our replies, we see Win2K, guest trains run on Win2K. Well, I wouldn't take a ride on China with them. And here, oh, what happened here? Oh, trains go fast. Black ice here and blah, blah, blah. Well, I don't believe this much, but you know what? I look only at the IP identification stuff here. Now it says, since we are so smart, I guess HTTP runs with Microsoft ME or 2000 RC1 or whatever we have here. So, I mean, what is so simple then? Do a banner grab and look for IIS 5. I mean, isn't it so faster than just, you know, trying to buy a train? So, again, I was a bit, I got basically better results and less traffic initiation, two packets. Let's see, oh, before going to China, I wanted to see how many childs can I have in China. So you know where I went to? Yeah, well, I had to start with the government somewhere. So I wanted to see how many childs can I have? State family planning. Okay, some nice picture, some view. Well, it's view from the room. Okay, no, forget it. Okay, guess government websites is running Windows 2000. Again, two packets, get the answer. Okay, I got 2000 here, RC1, Microsoft ME, and again the same thing. If I run HTTP and IIS5, guess what I'm running? Okay, this is the last example I have. So I was thinking, life is China is so good, I need to go over. So I was thinking, what is the favorite site I can go and get all the information I need? No, the Foreign Affairs of the People Republic. This is English. I didn't want to see all the letters because I don't understand, and I need to know when President Bush met the Chinese president. It's really important that they didn't update it from the 10th. So this is the official website of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of the People's Republic of China. Well, after I knew I can buy a car, a crane, a trailer, audio, wanted to travel there and acquire them myself. Yes, government is in Windows 2000. Isn't it lit? Maybe they know how to do denial of service, but don't think they actually know security. FTP, SMTP, HTTP, NetBIOS SSN. If you want your own content, well, I didn't say it. So, again, is it 2000 or Microsoft ME or whatever? Guess what? The same thing goes, CIIS, do banner grabbing, and you'll have the results. So, I was so happy at 3:30 in the morning. I knew I can go to China now. This is the summary of the amount of code we sent. I'll do it fast, because Lance will beat me if I eat the HoneyNet project time while I have to sit here as well. Now, this is the amount of packets sent. Of course, we need the replies. Now, what's next? What's next for the tool? This is only 0.0.1. Usually 0.0.1 is not compiling. This is working. I was trying not to do some stuff, and I have to get some networking devices into this. And also, I need to do some other firewall stuff. And if all fail, oh my God, we need to go to TCP again. I know, Lance. I know. Give me 2 minutes. Told you. Now, all updates for the tool and for the logic and the white paper hopefully finished or I don't know when, will be on this web address. Now, if you go to www.sys-security.com, you'll see a link to X. Go from there. What I want to add to 0.0.2 is database support, fingerprinting database, more logic and logic failover. It will be helpful for sites that are not in motherland China. Code download. As of midnight, I have some other stuff to do before. My website, SourceForge, we'll have there, we have there now our official page, what I don't know if there is something. We'll have a CVS repository and Fyodor Zorokin website. You need libpcap, runs under Linux, and if it runs under anything else, let me know. Okay, automation, of course, X Prob, you call it whatever, written by myself and Fyodor. ICMP ID by Simple Nomad, basically implementing the other side of the tree. ICMP ID will be downloaded from our website, from Simple's website, whenever it puts up. And if you just don't want my automation, I can do it with HPing 2 Sync, TCP dump, and enjoy yourself. Acknowledgement that this is important for me. First, I want to say thank you to Jeff Moss having me for, it's now a year, doing the Black Hat World Tour. JD Glazer from Foundstone, he's the one that started this whole stuff. He bugged me for logic to do Windows stuff, so it's evolved from there. Simple Nomad and Todd Sabin, they sat with me at last DEF CON, and they heard me talking about ICMP where nearly nothing was there. Of course, Fyodor, Joachim, Marty Roach, we'd always put my stuff inside. Jennifer Granick for the, well, you can scan this and that, and the little stuff. And you people for attending here and providing me feedback about my work. You have your further reading from my website. Tools have been used. Everything will be online midnight. If you have any question I would like to take, and thank you for having me here.